Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring day sort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the Diener Show, presented by OPC Pest Services on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
And we are back here at Neil Huff and Mazda Volkswagen out here on Dixie. And this is, they got over 400 available vehicles right now ready for you. You go to neilhuffman.com to find out more, and you're going to get 3 years of service with each new purchase. That's going to get you oil change, tire rotations, multi-point vehicle inspections. Just this past, about a week ago, on January 6th, 54 years in business. I can't believe it's been 4 years since the 50th. Remember, we were here for the 50th celebration.
It's been 4 years
that was,
since that?
I guess that was 4 years ago.
How long have I been doing this?
I don't know. Man.
What's going on?
Time flew right by,
I feel like I just started.
I know. It's 4 years ago?
I guess we did it through a pandemic.
Anyway, true. Yeah, we did lose 2 years of lost time.
Fault.
So to celebrate that, then ring in 2023. They're offering 3.9 APR financing on new in-stock Volkswagen models. They have their own body shop as well, right down the road on Dixie. So that's been around since 1971. So that's where we are. Again, I can give you no better endorsement of the dealership here than my mom, who will research, not making this up, buying a toaster. Did all the research and landed on Subaru she bought from right here. Now, there is something monumental that has happened in the break. The one battle that I cannot win with this station is the subfolder battle. And I can't win it. I mean, I've tried. I've tried to attack it on all fronts. I've worked in places where I know there are better ways to do this. But Dropbox has changed my life in the last, at least my, what I just noticed on Dropbox. They have a recents tab now.
Oh.
So anything that organizes them in the most recently edited sound. So now I don't have to worry about fighting that battle.
How do you like that?
I love that. So, I could find the caller from last night's show. I can find sound that's recently, been used and has been cut. So it's game changer.
That's beautiful.
It's fantastic.
How do you feel this morning?
I feel great. Jared's on the line, and he knows how much I fought this battle. My life just got changed seconds before you appeared here. Good morning.
Yeah, you talked about how 4 years ago it feels like it was just yesterday. Honestly, when you brought that up, I was like, man, Dropbox. I haven't used Dropbox in like 9 years.
What do you guys use?
I haven't even thought about this in so long, and it's still clearly a battle that you're not going to win.
Not going to win, no.
But I am proud of Dropbox for adding that feature. I bought Dropbox stock one time, and because I thought it was going to,
take off,
work, and it did not. So,
Dropbox stock.
I'm happy that Dropbox has finally gotten with the times.
So how much is Dropbox stock going for these days, do we know? $22.45.
That was like 6 or 7 years ago that I bought Dropbox stock and that it absolutely tanked.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, that was a long, long, long time ago. So, I would say it's probably on par with how most of America feels about college basketball right now.
Oh, man.
As far as interest level. Because, man, I'll tell you, I tried to watch some basketball last night. There was nothing else on TV.
Right.
You got no football on. And, no hockey that I care about was on. And I'm like, what are we going to watch? And I was like, okay, well, let's see. Watch a little college basketball. I put on the Kentucky game, and even though Kentucky lost and they were telling me on TV how bad of a loss that was for Kentucky, I didn't really care much. And then I watched like a little bit of the Tennessee-Vandy game, and then I ended up falling asleep. And it was honestly like the Vandy-Tennessee game was like watching paint dry. And it was like a two-point game with 12 minutes to go, and it was still like watching paint dry. I mean, I got to tell you, I don't know what happened in college basketball.
There's no stars. Right. There's just no stars. Like, I mean, you used to have, you know, Zion Williamson, you know, was a perfect example of that. You know, he was a star. And we get sick of ESPN promoting LSU because, you know, the guy that went first, Ben Simmons, you know, but they were promoting stars. I don't know, you know, Oscar Tshiebwe is returning player of the year, but I don't know how much national star power he has. Not much at all, because they got beat in the first round of the tournament last year.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a good rebounder, but it's not like something that people outside of Kentucky care about. And it's like, I think that honestly, like the whole Cal-Kentucky thing, like I think that may be over. Like, not that they're going to fire him tomorrow or whatever, but I do think that they're headed for a divorce. Yeah. But I'm like, I kind of don't want that, because at least like Calipari, you know, there's a villain there with some of that people care about. If they hire some random guy to be the coach of Kentucky, it's going to be like Duke without Coach K. Nobody's going to care anymore. It's like when the Chicago Cubs won the World Series. I'm like, man, that's bad for baseball, because now that the Cubs won the World Series, nobody cares about that anymore. And that's how I'm going to feel when all these like star coaches are out of the game. You know, Roy Williams and Coach K and Calipari. It's like nobody cares about these average guys.
We do. Heard of we care over here. It's just that the team, I mean, you can't. I've never covered a season like this. I've never seen, you know, we're 2-14, whatever it is, going into the night, 2-13.
2-13.
Just literally, I mean, I haven't even looked up quad one wins. Well, there's only been two wins.
Just focus on the two.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bizarre season, but it's, I mean, it's what we're sitting in right now. I'm telling you, it's an alternate universe here.
So I have two thoughts on that. The first thought is, anytime somebody says something to me like, you know, oh, yeah, you like Louisville, your basketball team's terrible or something like that, I'm like, look, our basketball team is not just the worst basketball team in the history of Louisville basketball. It might be the worst basketball team in the history of basketball. Like that, like the Washington Generals win more games than our basketball team will win.
Now, you're a little prone to hyperbole, but Langebaker does have one stat.
Right now, Jared, it is currently the worst ACC team in KenPom history, for sure. Like, right now, we're like 12, 15 spots below Boston College 2012. And that's where I'm hoping to get above, to not be the worst ACC team in history.
I mean, forget about the ACC. I think we may honestly be the worst team to ever, like, laced up sneakers. But the second part about that is going back to how people in Louisville care about college basketball, which I get. You know, I mean, it is. I mean, even Kentucky, who's terrible, I saw the crowd yesterday, and I was like, man, there's a lot of fans at that game. If you were to take a map of the United States of America and you were to say, who cares about college basketball, like right now? Now, after the Super Bowl and like during the tournament, people will care. The tournament is perfect for the attention span of Americans today. But if you were to say, who cares about college basketball right now, there'd be like one big dot in Louisville, Kentucky, like one big dot in the state of North Carolina, and that might be about it right now.
Not true. Kansas,
Indiana. I mean, But it is very limited.
I know you don't like it. It doesn't mean everybody hates it. We know it doesn't get the, you know, nothing gets the ratings that football does. Nothing. It's unbelievable. Even though we had the worst championship game maybe ever played in the history of sports the other night.
It was the lowest rated.
It wasn't really?
So,
The
tournament, like the NCAA basketball tournament, that is perfect for like the attention span of sports fans right now across America, because it's, you know, very short. And honestly, nobody, unless it's your team, nobody really watches a whole tournament basketball game unless it's like the Final Four. Everybody else is just like watching a game. They see in the top right corner, oh, wow, Old Dominion and UConn is close with 7 minutes to go. Click. Yeah. And they get really into it. And then by the third day of the NCAA tournament, everybody across the country thinks they know everything about every team.
Absolutely. That's what everybody does. And when, you know, we get the World Cup, we're all experts on soccer. I mean, come on. I mean, that's what, you know, people, you know, all of a sudden become, and that's what makes for good TV ratings. People care enough to be instant experts.
Sure. But as far as, like, the regular season in college basketball, I think it's like Major League Baseball, that you only care about your team.
Yes. Yes, we know this. Why are you attacking college basketball this morning? You're mad because you had nothing to watch last night. You had nothing to watch. That's why you're mad.
I've never seen it as – it's like I'm watching the ghost of college basketball play right now. It's
tournament has swallowed up the regular season. They made the decision to make the tournament what it is, and it funds the NCAA, and it's great, but it is but it has swallowed the regular season whole. Absolutely has. So that's nothing new. I can't believe you didn't stop and watch the Kentucky games. They were losing as a 19.5-point favorite. I mean, that was the male soap opera right there.
I did watch a little bit of the Kentucky game, but even that was kind of boring. Like, you know,
I did not think that was boring at all. No, it was not.
I did think it was hilarious, the one play where South Carolina inbounded the ball from under the basket and they hit the corner of the backboard when they were inbounding it. Somehow South Carolina guy picked up the ball off the ground and threw it to a guy for a wide open three and he hit it. And Calipari went nuts on the sidelines. I did think that was pretty funny.
Yeah. We had a wild week 18, as always, with the NFL. Your guys choked it away down there. I'm sure everybody's real happy down there.
Well, I mean, I don't think, like, it's like massive disappointment that the Titans didn't win, even though they probably should have won the game. There's not, like, a massive disappointment that they didn't win. I was disappointed that they lost, but the Titans lost 7 games in a row to end the season, so they got a lot bigger problem.
Wow.
And now it's actually going back to the whole college basketball thing. When I was a kid, it was like when football season was over, then we went from – I remember as a kid like wanting to talk football after football season, but there was just nothing there. It was like after football season came college basketball season for a little bit, and then after college basketball season it was baseball. And it's like we had to wait until the draft or free agency to talk about football again. And it used to kill me. Now it's like football season's over, right to football off-season talk.
Right.
I cannot explain why it is the way it is. And I'm not complaining about it because I care more about football than I do the other sports. But I remember as a kid, like, you know, I loved SEC basketball. You know, Tubby was at Kentucky. They were okay. Billy Donovan was at Florida. They won a bunch of games. Bruce Pearl was at Tennessee. That was always something. Vandy had some nice teams. So, like, you know, I'd be into, like, Tuesday night SEC basketball on Jefferson Pilot Sports.
Yeah.
And now it's like all anybody – football talk, football, football, football.
Sit. Yeah. No. I think the maddest fan base in the NFL – I'll tell you, for the fan base stuff, I'd be the angriest. If I were the Texans, how dare you win and screw up the number one pick? How dare you do that and screw up the number one pick? I mean, that would be infuriating.
I don't know what the Texans are going to – like, what's going to happen, but it's a really bad look for Brian Flores to be suing the NFL for racist hirings and tanking, and then the Houston Texans fire a black head coach after 1 year because he won a game.
Well, I don't think because he won a game. I think because he won 3 total games is probably why he got fired. I mean,
I'm going to say something. The Texans, the last 2 years – have fired African-American coaches, David Culley and Lovie Smith. And I think I probably watch the Texans closer than others because they play in the Titans division. And I think that, like, the 3 wins, and I forget, I think they won 4 or 5 last year. Honestly, I think that that was outperforming the roster that they had. They set these guys up to fail. And, I mean, the Texans
Why would
terrible.
You set up a team to fail? Everybody's trying to win in the NFL. I mean, I don't... What do you mean set them up to fail?
Drew, I'm telling you, those teams are terrible. Like, they have no chance to win. Like, David Culley takes over a team that's awful because they fired Bill O'Brien. The quarterback says he's not going to play. Deshaun Watson's like, I'm not playing for this team. And they don't have a first-round pick because they traded it to the Dolphins for Laramie Tunsil. Like, there's no way that guy could have succeeded. But they fired him after 1 year. Lovie Smith, there's no way that he could have succeeded with how bad this team is, and they still fired him after 1 year. Stephen A. Smith and Michael Irvin were screaming on TV on Monday.
Oh, that's shocking. That's shocking.
Stunned.
Stephen wow, Smith, Michael Irvin and Stephen A. Smith were screaming on TV. That's not all they
Keyshawn
do.
Keyshawn wasn't
Smith,
screaming, too?
Stephen A. Smith said that black coaches should not apply for the Texans. Like, it's a bad look for the NFL.
I mean, they were 1-12 with a week, with 3 weeks to go in the season. They won two of their last three. I mean, they're bad. I mean, coaching has some say in that. I mean, they lost a lot of close games.
Not with this Texan team. I'm telling you, Vince Lombardi could have coached this Texan team, and I think that you're probably looking at the same record, if not worse. And I'm not a Lovie Smith guy. But I'm telling you, I cover this division. Like, that team is horrible. The fact that they're not picking number one is actually kind of a tip of the cap to Lovie Smith.
Well, we're going to disagree on that.
Think about it.
We're just going to disagree on this one because they played a lot of close games. They played the Chiefs to overtime. They played Dallas to 4 points. I think they are on the verge of earning the number one pick, and I think coaching factors into that. So we're going to disagree on that.
Can you name five players on the Texans?
Jalen Reeves, Maben.
There you go.
I can name him. Mills, right? The quarterback. Their team's not good, but they're not. But they're also, when you're in a lot of close games, you know. I mean, what do we judge coaches on? I mean, I could judge them if you're able to win close games a lot of times. I think they're terrible, and I think you got to start over there. And I think if you're about to earn the number one pick, you're well within your rights to fire the coach.
Can't believe you didn't have Jonathan Grenard.
Oh, that's right. Didn't he run a touchdown back this?
I don't know if he did that, but I knew he's on the team.
I don't know, but. All right. Well, we got to make room here. We got to talk some football around here. We're gonna do that next segment. So. Enjoy, off-season draft talk.
Remember what I told you. I want 8 wins in football next year.
Yeah, we'll get in that. I'm down with that. That's easy. We got that. No problem.
You were getting all defensive last time we talked about 8 wins in football.
Well, and since then, they've been getting players left and right. I'm good. I'm good, man.
I told you, 8 wins. That's why I want to be good at football again. I'm tired of being bad.
Okay. All right. Don't worry. They're not going to be. You're going to enjoy it. All right.
And you're going to like this college football playoff in a year.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
God.
Well, yeah, you're right. Because the current format produced such a thrilling final. Oh, it's awesome.
You think it's going to produce more thrilling games if we let everybody play in there?
Yeah.
It will.
It will. You have fun. We'll disagree. I don't know why you're doing that, throwing that grenade in the room as he's leaving Blankenbaker, but that's bye-bye. Well, we're going to agree to disagree on that one, too. We'll see.
Tulane at Oklahoma State, ESPNU, playoff
opener. That's what it'll look like.
Blankenbaker's sabotaging our own show. Yes, Grenard had a 39-yard interception return.
That's awesome.
It was within seconds of Devontae Parker catching a touchdown pass.
I figured you'd be tweeting about it. Oh, you're right. Devontae had a nice final week.
Yeah, but no, you didn't see the Grenard. There was a dog show, wasn't there?
There was no dog show. Okay. Right. No, there's a newborn is what there is. So you don't see as much.
Dog show.
But Andy did want you to know.
Oh, God.
That on Dropbox, the recents.
Been there a while.
Been there a long time.
Okay. Well, maybe it could have been pointed out to me. I gave up.
Quit.
I quit.
But hey, it's like,
why is Jared attacking college basketball this morning?
I don't know.
I mean, he's just viciously attacking. I tried to steer him away from, and he went back to attacking college basketball.
What's going on?
It's not a niche. I mean, like, cricket's a niche sport.
But it's like, people in California don't care. Like, they don't care at UCLA, and that's UCLA. But, no, I think you're right. Kansas, Indiana, Michigan.
It's not
Kentucky,
as popular as football. That
Ohio,
doesn't mean.
North Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, it's just attacking. I mean.
Right. Connecticut's probably a hotbed for college basketball, I'm assuming.
It's fine.
But it doesn't have the big appeal that college football does. But I love college basketball.
Yeah. There's no comparing. Any of that.
Right.
So.
It's like this, I don't need you to like Ocean's 8. I liked Ocean's 8.
Okay, you're really wrecking the show right now. I'm cutting your mic off before you ruin it altogether. All right, Ocean's 8, that's a flagrant one. Flagrant one on Blankenbaker's. We are out here. We're trying to attract people to buy cars from the Huffman Auto Group, and I will not stand for that. So that's where we are. We're here this morning. If you want to hop on in, you can do that. RGB, red, green, blue. I mentioned them earlier. Kyle and the boys are going to come out today. I got a little tweak I need to the setup there. If you're thinking about a home theater, make sure that what do you think about anything? If you're thinking about hanging a TV, you're thinking about doing an outdoor setup, whatever it is. And if you want to watch a crappy movie like Ocean's 8, then buy by God, you do it. And they will set it up for you, and it'll sound as well as it can possibly sound. Won't make it a good movie, but it'll sound good. So it's RGB, red, green, blue, RGBHomeTheaters.com, and tell me what it's talking about. I'm right here.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit suedistracteddriver.com.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios. Welcome back to the Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
Hey, and we got the game tonight. It'll be UofL Clemson. We'll have it right here for you, 9 o'clock with the play-by-play. Network pregame getting underway at 7:30, and then immediately after network coverage, it's Coors Light postgame show with Ethan Moore. All tonight here as your home for the Cards right here, 93.9 The Ville, and however you may stream us here, whether ESPN Louisville app, tune in, whatever the case may be. We are here today. What's that hum? I'm trying to figure out what that buzz is. I don't know what
buzz.
Figure what that is. But we got all that going on here today. We are out here at Tufman on Neil Huffman Mazda, and plenty to tell you about with all the cars. They've got on the lot here with over 400 cars right now on the lot, and they've got some special financing of 3.9% because they're celebrating 54 years in business out here. My mom bought a car here. This is where Keith Pointer bought his first car. I still can't believe it was 4 years ago that we did the 50th show anniversary show from here, but that's where we are today as they just celebrated that 54th anniversary. So they've been around a while, and a coach that is back for a second tour here is on the line with us right now, Coach Garrett McGee, who is rejoined Jeff Brohm's staff. Coach, good to see you again, I guess it is. Good morning.
Good morning, buddy. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. You left, and you were competing against Brohm in the same league for a couple of years, right? So you guys stayed familiar with one another.
Well, yeah, we did. You know, we have a long history, though, of coming up in the same, pretty much the same coaching tree, if you say so, and the same offensive style and system. Mm-hmm. We work together down at UAB. I think just a really good person, very excellent football coach, but just a really good person, a humble guy, and I just love being on the staff.
So I didn't realize the UAB connection. Were you guys there for 1 year, 2 years together? How long were you guys there together?
We were there 1 year. Jeff was my offensive coordinator my first year there. Hmm. And then he went on to Western Kentucky, and then he went from there. Yeah.
What makes him, in terms of a creative offensive mind, what is it that he does that is like, wow, that's an interesting play there I haven't seen before?
Well, we just try to be as creative as you possibly can. And, not do everything traditional ways that, offenses do it. Just try to be as creative as possible. And sometimes, a kid can make a mistake on the practice field and do the wrong thing, and then that mistake creates a whole nother play. And that's kind of – I mean, if you can believe that, a kid would screw up on the practice field, and we go, no, wait a minute. That might be a good concept that he just created there. Let's do it like that. So just trying to be creative and aggressive as you possibly can.
Have you ever done a play like the Chiefs did on Saturday where they all spun around like a bottle and ran that play?
Nah, I haven't, but I know Eric Bieniemy really well, and, you know, I think he's taking creativity to a whole nother level over in Kansas City.
How mad would you be if you pulled off that play and you had that holding call? I mean, as a coach, you've done everything. You've come with this great idea, and one little holding call negates it.
Yeah, that's football, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of people on the field that have to do the right thing at the right time, and that's what football is. That's why it's different than, you know, other sports, because you got 11 guys out there that have to do the right thing.
All right, Coach Garrick McGee is with us here, 93.9 The Ville, ESPN 680. Well, you guys have been active in the portal, to say the least. What has been the
– We're if not you had to done pin- either.
Oh, I'm sure.
We're not done. We're still going.
What's been so far the reason you think you guys have had such success? One of the reasons.
One, I think the main reason is that we really understand this place. We really feel comfortable recruiting to this place and, you know, detailing out what this university and the program can do for a kid. And we're really confident inside this building selling this particular school. And, you know, you go to a lot of schools. A lot of us have worked at a lot of schools, but there's just something about this place that we all love. And we feel like we could sell what we have to offer. We don't have to, you know, downgrade any other program. We have enough to talk about within our program. And just, like I said, being aggressive and not being afraid to compete for recruits against anybody out there. We love this place, and we're willing to stand for what we believe in and get this thing, you know, back in the ACC championship or in the ACC championship race.
Yeah, Coach McGee, you know, it's been fun to watch you guys in the portal, but I am kind of wondering about the transition of offense. Like, you know, what Louisville was doing last year is a lot of outside-inside zone. How much change are you guys going to have to work on? It's an entirely new system. How adaptable, how fast do you expect this team to pick it up once you're able to start working on those concepts?
Well, we have to have it figured out by the opening night down there in Atlanta against Georgia Tech. So, you know, it seems like we have a lot of time, but we don't, because, you know, we don't want to stumble in. We want to win the opening game and get the thing off running the right way. So, you know, we understand this system. We know how to the progression goes when you're installing the system on the field and in the meeting rooms and the walkthroughs and all of that. So, you know, we're gonna get going and get to teaching and walking through and watching video. And we're going to teach them this offense, and then we're going to get out there and go for it and open at night.
How much does it help to have Jack Plummer, you know, who's familiar with the system coming from Purdue, obviously played at Cal last year, but he's going to be at Louisville. How much does that help to have a quarterback that is at least familiar with what you guys want to do?
Yeah, that's why he was so important to us, because, you know, as of right now, outside the coaches, he is the one guy that understands the system. And, you know, he's been around here this weekend. I've got to spend a lot of time with him. And he's really a sharp, intelligent dude. He knows a lot about this system. And now he's got to get his, you know, feet back down in the system, because he had another one he was playing in last year. But as we started just, you know, having conversations, all of us, about certain plays and certain things, it started to come back to him. So, you know, those captain practices that you have when the coaches can't be around and the kids can be on the field on their own, you know, he's going to be a major force in those type of practices.
What is his – I mean, is there a quarterback you'd compare him to in terms of style? I mean, is when you see him play?
Well, he's a drop-back passer. You know, I think you guys remember, I don't like comparing guys. I don't think that's fair, to guys. But he is a tall drop-back passer, very mature. He could throw the ball down the field. You know, I've watched all of his videos, you know, and I just think he's exactly what our offense is built on. We want to throw the ball down the field and force people to defend the pass and then try to slice them up with the run game when we have to. And I think he fits that mold perfect.
Garrick McGee with us here, wide receiver coach, U of L. And as you said, you're not done in the portal. It seems like there's almost going to be multiple seasons and periods of this, right? I mean, you've got till the semester starts for some people now. I would assume the next one would be after spring practice. I mean, what are the various – it's almost like free agency periods. What are the various periods that it's going to be the most active?
Yeah, you're right. This time is going to be very active every season. And then after spring ball, that's normally another, time period where the portal kind of opens up. But it's really tough in the portal because every day there's different things changing and you're trying to protect your own roster and you're trying to upgrade your roster. And that goes different ways. I had a conversations with our returning receivers that are going to be here with us. And it wasn't that we were trying to replace those guys. It was that we didn't have many guys on scholarship, to run the type of offense we want to run. And so we had to get the numbers right so we can have enough legs to go out on the field and practice the way that we want to practice and then ultimately get through a long season. And, once I started explaining to them that, no, man, we're not trying to run you guys out of here. We're trying to get the program in position to go after this thing. And they kind of understood. So, that's where the open communication with your own players on the squad is so important, because they're reading the internet and they're seeing what's going on with the guys you're bringing in, and they're going, wait a minute, they might be trying to get rid of me, and it's not that at all. We're just trying to get the program in a position to go win a bunch of games.
And it had to be particularly tough because right when you take over, there's a bowl game, they're up there, you guys are trying to recruit. I mean, it had to be, even tougher than it normally would be in this new era.
Yeah, that was really weird. It's the first time I've ever experienced that. We had a recruiting weekend, and we had a bunch of big-time recruits in here, but our players and pretty much our whole staff, except for about four or five of us, was there, in Boston at the game. And it's just the way it worked out. It was just tough timing, but we were able to do both. The kids and Deion were able to go win the game, and then we were able to knock some recruits down, here in town. It was a really interesting timing, but we watched the game here in the Players Lounge, and we were all excited, that we went on and won that game.
Yeah, Coach. You brought in four players in the portal at the wide receiver spot. I could go through their names, but Jamari Thrash, and I'm blanking on the kid's name from Jackson State.
Kevin
but
Golan.
Like, there's a lot of really talented guys in there that have played some productive college football. I mean, it does seem like you all have the numbers about where you need them to be. Or are you still shopping?
I think we're about where we want to be at that position, but. We're still trying to grind out other positions and, get things going with other positions. I think that we got a pretty good hold on, the direction we're headed in at receiver. And, I think we've added the puzzles and we're able to keep the guys on the roster, that we really needed to keep. But we're still going. We're trying to upgrade the team, not just one position. We're trying to upgrade the squad.
How does the NIL situation here compared to what you guys had at Purdue?
Well, the best part about the NIL situation is that the assistant coaches don't have anything to do with it or don't know anything about it, which is a great thing for us because that thing seems complex. It seems like, the kids nowadays, they understand what's going on, so they're asking all over the country. And the assistant coaches, the way we're coach philosophy here is that the assistant coaches just stay out of it. You just recruit the person, sell yourself, sell the program. And then there's other people, in play to deal with the NIL part.
Yeah. Yeah,
so that was a really good way for me to run from that question.
Yeah, you did. That was good. Yeah, that was an out route, and I fell down, and wide open there on the sideline. But it's so interesting. I talked to so many coaches that almost have a similar answer of like, I don't really understand it either, but thank God there are people that do. I mean, I've heard that enough to believe it.
Yeah, it's just, we just, like I said, our philosophy inside our building is that we stay out of it as assistant coaches. And, we have people in place that are doing a good job to, figure out how to best use the NIL to help our program.
We mentioned a minute ago, but Kevin Coleman, what was the connection there? How did you guys start the relationship there? Because he's obviously a highly touted guy. What got him here?
Well, I think I've got a deep relationship with him and his family. I was at the University of Missouri. I was at Illinois and Missouri when Kevin was a really young kid, eighth, ninth grader. And he would come to my camps and, do really well. And I developed a good relationship with his dad. Then I went on to Florida And Kevin went on to Jackson State. But when I saw that Kevin had hit the transfer portal and it was clear that he was in the portal and open, it wasn't just going to follow Deion out to Colorado, then that's when I reached out to his dad, and we started talking. I try to go through the father first, so you're not just trying to convince a kid of something like some coaches do. And me and his dad, ended up having some really good conversations. Then I got on the phone with Kevin, and we started to sell that this may be, the right place for him. And ultimately, when he got on campus, he had been here before, but ultimately we got on campus this time, he just felt like this was the right place for him. So we're really fortunate to get a guy that talented on our squad.
You know, Coach McGee, I'm just thinking back to when you first came to Louisville back in 2014. It was a similar type deal where Louisville came from a run-based offense. Now you're doing the same type of thing. But we're not worried about, producing offense, but we weren't last time either. But it's kind of funny to think about, you guys were replacing Teddy Bridgewater, we're replacing Malik Cunningham. There's all these schemes that are going to be different. But you all had so much success in 2014 with Will Gardner at quarterback. And during that transition, we talk about it a lot, that final sequence against Clemson. You were that close to winning that game and beat Notre Dame with Reggie Bonifant at quarterback. So it was a really good year. I just wanted to get your reflection on that.
Man, when I walk in this building and I see some of the pictures on the wall, and we got a picture here on the wall in the hallway of when Notre Dame was going after that kick, and we had our guys going after the, they were jumping, and someone got the picture from the back of when the ball had went up and it was going wide left, and our kids were jumping and really trying to get it, and that moment, I was there. I remember what that felt like. And another thing, I remember the crowd that was there in Notre Dame Stadium that day. I mean, it was unbelievable how much red, Cardinal red, was in the stadium. And, we pulled off that win. It's another one. There's a couple of pictures of us when we went to the, I think, Music City Bowl when Lamar was a freshman. And we had that battle with Texas A&M. And, Nashville's not that far from here, so we expected our crowd to be there. But the way that they were really into the game and yelling and screaming, and it really pushed us through, in a really tough game. So there's a lot of memories, that I remember telling Reggie Bonifant before that Notre Dame game that when I was coming up as a kid, I always wanted to score a touchdown in front of that Notre Dame band right there in that end zone where we come out of the locker room in front of that band. And Reggie scored two touchdowns in the first quarter in the exact spot awesome. We were talking about, yeah. That I dreamed of scoring a touchdown. We still talk about that, me and Reggie do, that he actually did what I always dreamed about. He did it twice in the first quarter. And so there's just so many memories that I have, the practice sessions, the recruiting calls, the late nights trying to figure out, the proper schemes to run on the field. But so to be back here, in this same building, is in the Snellenberger. But, myself and Jeff Brown, we both played for Coach Snellenberger. If you guys remember, mm-hmm. when he left here, he went to Oklahoma.
Oh, I didn't realize it. Okay. Wow, I didn't realize that. Yeah.
Whoa. I still have Coach's old playbook that he talks about Jeff Brown. Jeff Brown was Coach Snellenberger's favorite of all time, by the way. He talks about him in that book, talks about Jeff in the playbook. So, yeah.
Wow, that's a crazy connection. Yeah, that's a crazy connection.
To come back.
And since you've been here, and things were good there, and there was excitement, but, I hope it's palpable to you, the excitement people have. I mean, I'm not used to people saying, man, I can't wait for the spring game. And, the excitement that has been injected in here, I hope you can feel it, because this is, for me, unlike anything that I've seen.
Well, I'm as excited as everybody else. Just, I cannot wait to get going. As a matter of fact, we're going to get started recruiting. We're going to be back on the road recruiting on Friday. Then we're going to take a couple. We'll have a junior day of kids coming in the weekend. Then on Tuesday, we're going to hit the road again and go back out recruiting. And I just love putting on the Cardinal colors, man, and getting out on the road and selling this place to kids and coaches and, trying to upgrade our roster. It's just a really cool place to work every single day.
Well, Coach, we look forward to a bunch of your guys that are playing your position, catching a lot of balls, and we're excited for it, and look forward to whatever else that comes down the portal line here. So we appreciate it.
All right, buddy, I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right. Thank you so much, Garrick McGee. Yeah, it's talking about football is fun. It's uplifting.
I love it.
It's uplifting.
You know.
I know you do. Yes, I know.
This is what I want to. And you know, Coach McGee was here, and he was here for the start of.
So he was here 14 and 15.
Yeah, and he wasn't here for Lamar, but he was here for
Lamar's first
foundation
year.
Of what that 2016 team was.
But he was here for Lamar's freshman year.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then we got Lonnie Galloway to follow him. And the Coach McGee went to Illinois with Lovie Smith because him and Lovie Smith are very good friends. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I hated to lose him at the time. And, you know, I know we've gone over that Clemson game a bunch with the Spike.
Mm-hmm.
But
are you going to stop accusing him of Spike telling Spike the ball?
Well, I mean, they did.
Yeah, but that was Bobby's call. I'm putting that
okay,
on.
Okay, that's fine. But the deal is like they were right there in Death Valley with a chance to beat Clemson in year one.
Yeah. In one of the worst football games ever played.
Oh, yeah.
It was all defense. It was the worst.
It was all defense.
Was it all defense or was it bad offense? I don't know.
No, go back and look at the defenses on both those sides. I think we had like six dudes playing the NFL, and I think Clemson had eight.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was good defense.
I think it was a combo.
We have 14 NFLers in the game that are playing that are starting on defense.
Let's look at those quarterbacks too. It was Will Gardner, and then Watson got injured.
Watson,
and so they went to the guy that had played here, right?
Or Stout? No,
his brother. Yeah, yeah.
Hunter Stout or Cole Stout?
Yeah. So the Will Gardner Hunter Stout matchup didn't exactly.
Well, Watson did get hurt early in that game.
Early.
It was first quarter.
Yeah,
and that set them back big time. But that was also true freshman Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I know.
And Will Gardner was injured because he came in at the end. It was like Bonifant, started that game.
I don't know. We have to
go back and watch it.
Look, but I'm not watching that game ever again. There's like 24 punts or something in that game.
It was a lot of punts.
It was an unbelievable amount of punts.
And then we had one blocked, and that was the difference. You know, they got us on special.
That
teams.
Was a difference.
Well, it was a one-score game.
James Quick run down from behind and spiking the ball on third down. And
that was a difference, too.
Yeah.
But when they scored on that, that made it, I mean, in a game without offense, you know, getting a punt blocked was really, really detrimental to our efforts that day.
We are out here at Neil Huffman Mazda Volkswagen. I got 3.9% financing on all new VWs here. We've got, you know, again, around here, 54 years in business out here at Neil Huffman Mazda Volkswagen Subaru. So that's where we are hanging out today. Of course, we got a lot coming up this week as well to tell you about, including the man in line right now's team who's going to play tomorrow night. It's Jeff Walls, who's with us here. Coach, welcome in. Good morning.
I appreciate it, guys. Good morning to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got you guys coming up here. I mean, just sort of, you know, you've been talking all year about it's, you know, with the transfer portal, it's taken a while to get to know your team. How much closer are you getting ready to figure out your team?
Well, it's real quick here right now. We have a stretch here. We're at Virginia Tech tomorrow night, who's ranked 12th or 13th. And then we travel down to Florida State on Sunday, who's top 25. They've been playing some really good basketball. Then we come back next Thursday, play a Boston College team that just won at NC State and then beat Florida State. So it's going to be some really good basketball, and we're going to find out real quick. I like the progress we've made. Now we've just got to put a 40-minute game together. We just have too many lapses throughout a game where we just lose our focus, we lose our defensive intensity, and we've just got to figure that out. And then, you know, I like the group we have, and I think we're extremely talented.
Jeff Walls is here, 93.9 The Ville, ESPN 680. So you feel confident, like as you say, you like the talent on your team, that you will figure it out, or they will figure it out.
Well, I'm sure hoping so. I mean, that's our goal. Our practices have been good. Their energy's been great. We've played much better since our Thanksgiving trip. You know, both on the offense and defensive end. It's just getting that consistency of putting a 40-minute game together. But I really do. I like this team. They're great to coach. They're great people. They're fun to be around. Like it's enjoyable to go on a road trip instead of dreading it. Going, my God, I don't even want to be around them. No, it's not that. But our league's good. I mean, that's the one thing. I think, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me, oh my gosh, you know, what's going on in the league? I'm like, our league's better. You know, the past 4 or 5 years, it's been us and NC State, at the top of it, and one of us has one loss, the other has two, and then the next third place team might have four or five. Well, I just think it's going to be a lot of teams are going to be fighting and battling for the top four, top five spots in this league. And, you know, it just came out on, you know, when they do the bracketology, I think they had 10 teams from the ACC in.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty impressive. Now, the problem is we all could beat up on each other, and that could knock some things down. I mean, you know, we're down one with 2.5 to go to Pitt at home, who's 0-5 in the league, but they're much better than 0-5. So it's going to be exciting for sure.
Jeff Walls with us here, 93 in the Ville, ESPN 680. As you say, a huge weekend coming up, two ranked opponents on the road. I'm looking down. You know, sometimes a plus-minus is really a tough stat to calculate if you don't watch the whole game. But when you're Haley Van Lith and you play the whole game, it's real easy to figure
real
out her plus-minus was seven. She played all 40 minutes the other night.
Yeah, she's really been doing a great job. She's probably it's been a long time since I can say we've had someone in the shape that she's in, order to play an entire 40-minute game. And really, you don't see a big drop off from the first five to the last five. Defensively, she's really improved. She does a great job for us. At the defensive end of the floor, we're trying to add a little some matchup zone, and she really knows where everybody's supposed to be, so it's been a big help there. Obviously, she can score the basketball. I was excited to see her, you know, finally see some three-point shots go in. She was 4-10 on Sunday for us, and now we're just going to need to continue that because I think we're going to see a lot of teams play a zone and challenge us to make outside shots.
Coach, we've talked with you about NIL and different things before, but something happened on Sunday after your win over Pitt with Chrislyn Carr that, you know, you all were able to arrange a private jet to get her to her grandmother's funeral.
Wow.
After the game. I don't think I've ever seen that before, and I don't know if that's the new NCAA rule, but, like, I just thought it was a really cool impact that you all could make and still get her to the game. So I didn't know the background on that, and I just thought it was really interesting.
Well, you know what? It's been done before, and it's just a case by case to where it's an extreme situation. Back in 2009, Keisha Hines, that was our starting center, her grandmother passed away the day of our Elite Eight game against Maryland, and then the funeral was actually the open practice of the Final Four. Up in St. Louis, and when Tom was here, Jurich, they arranged for her to be able to fly down to the service and then fly back to St. Louis. We're just blessed. I'm really fortunate and blessed to work in an athletic department and university that values these athletes as people. They're just not athletes. They're student athletes. They're people. They matter. Because I talked with Cece after her grandmother, we found out she passed away last Thursday during the Syracuse game, and you know, found out when the service was going to be. It was scheduled to be on Monday of this week, and you know, I said, hey, if you want to miss Sunday's game against Pittsburgh, that's not a problem. A family always comes first, and she really wanted to play. She's like, no, Coach, I want to play in this game. And I said, okay, let me see what we can do. And I made some phone calls to Josh and to some different people within the athletic department. And they were able to help us out and find a friend and that had a plane that was willing to help us with that. So she was able to fly Sunday after the game to Iowa and then come back yesterday morning, where she was able to be back for a class and then practice. So without that, obviously it wouldn't have been possible for her to play on Sunday in order to get back, because they had some family activities on Sunday evening.
Wow, that's it's hard to think that at some point the NCAA would make things like that, like you couldn't do it. You know?
Right. But well, I'm glad they allow it. I'm glad we were able to pull it off as a university too.
Interesting story this past week. I know you and Gino know each other well. I saw their game got canceled because they only had six healthy players. You were talking about Haley playing 40 minutes. That's almost unthinkable that you could have a UConn team with only six healthy players. Have you talked to him?
No, you know what? We text back and forth. I think they only have maybe 10 or 11 on roster.
Mm.
So, he is not using the all 15, and they've had, obviously, Paige Beckers is out for the season with the torn ACL. Then they have another freshman that injured her knee also, who's out for the season. And then they've just had a broken wrist here, sprained ankle. They had one come down with COVID, so she was out for the 7-8 days. So now I do believe they are back playing tonight against St. John's.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. You know, things have changed since COVID to where they have some rules in there, I believe all conferences do, about the number of healthy players, because I don't really think that was even something that was in writing.
Yeah.
8-9 years ago. I mean, if you had five, the best that I recall, you showed up with five and you played.
Yeah, yeah.
But it makes sense. I mean, it's tough for, five players to go out there and play for 40 minutes.
I imagine, with the way that the transfer portal and everything works now, is 15 scholarships, it's too much, too many? I mean, how do you handle that? Because not a lot of people want to, sit anymore, and they can so easily transfer. I don't know how many teams are even at the full 15. I mean, maybe they are, but it almost seems like it's tough to fill 15 of them.
You know, I've said that for years. We actually do have a 15 now, because we will have an announcement here in a few days with a new addition to our program through the portal here at the break. But it's difficult to keep 15 happy. I've said that for about 9-10 years. I'd like to see us in women's basketball drop to 13 and then give those two to another sport, because with the portal, especially the days of you sit here, you come in, you sit for a year, and not necessarily sit, but you're playing behind other good players. You're not prepared to play as a freshman yet. And then earn your time. Kids really think, I should come in as a freshman and play 25 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then you are taking the chance of them trying to leave. So it's a balancing act for sure. It's really it's interesting. It's your roster managing right now.
Mm-hmm.
As much as coaching, I'm trying to manage a roster, trying to figure out, okay, who might decide to transfer, who's going to stay, who might use their COVID year right now, because we still have two more years of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, the first year of COVID, you could have over 15 scholarships. Well, now you can't have over a 15, even if a player decides to come back for their COVID year. So I'm talking to players now going, do you plan to come back? Because if you don't, then I've got to go recruit somebody. But if you are, I can't fill that scholarship that would normally be there because you graduated.
Wow.
Can I follow up real quick, Coach? I want to know about the announcement that you have coming up. Is that for a player that might be able to play this semester, or do they have to wait till the fall? Okay.
No, it's wait for the fall. Anybody that transfers in mid-year, unless there's an extreme circumstance, has to sit out.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So
just wanted to get a little idea.
Will sit out and practice with us and then be eligible next season.
Well, Coach, best of luck. Hopefully you're not having any home projects, that we don't approve of, anytime soon. So we're rooting for you to win and to stay off the roof. That's what we're rooting for.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks so much. Jeff Walls with you. Okay, we are way late for break. We can get get into some things there. I've got stories we've got to get to as well as we are out here at Neil Huffman Mazda. And, man, cars, yes, they got over 400 of them on the lot right now. You want to get a new Volkswagen, I get you 3.9% financing on that. So we've got that for you taken care of. By the way, are the airplanes flying? Are the
yeah, I think they're back up and running. Yeah, the FAA was down.
The FAA shut down everybody till 9 o'clock
departures. Yeah, so that's going to create a backlog.
So hope you weren't planning on flying today.
Yeah. Woo. As soon as Southwest fixed it all, now they're back.
Yeah. All right. If you have any problems with your heating or cooling, DFH Company, that's who I use at the house. That's who we use at the station. If you want that Mitsubishi Mini Split that keeps us, you know, the temperature regulated, you know, in both of our studios so that it's not, you know, a million degrees in there and a greenhouse effect, DFH Company will take great care of you. 968-6222 online, DFHCompany.com. Couple of great stories. And next hour.